remained solid, and there it hung, trailing into the greedy sand. Despite the force of the fall, Ryan was able to keep his grip, rolling on one side, his legs slipping into the sand. Strasser was less fortunate. The impact jarred him off the tumbled tangle of wires and steel, landing him in an awkward, crouched position, about 10 feet away from where Ryan clung to the slats.
Ryan! Are you okay there?
Mildred leaned over the edge of the drop, still tied to the railing.
Ryan!
All around his legs, he could feel the cold, sucking embrace, folding him into itself. He clung to the dangling cables and fought to pull himself free.
Give me a hand, One-Eye!
Ryan heaved himself from the sand onto the relative safety of the fallen bridge, taking a moment to turn around and look at his enemy. Strasser had already sunk to the waist, the sand rippling around him as he tried to kick himself free. But the sludge was neither liquid nor solid, and it resisted all his efforts. He still gripped the knife.
Help me! Pull me out!
No!
Out of the corner of his eye, Ryan could see that Christy and the others were watching, unable to help him. The only way out was up the hanging half of the bridge. It would be dangerous, but it could be done. But first there was Strasser. Now the sand was almost to the man's armpits, rising inexorably. He'd stopped kicking, and his face was turned to Ryan with a look of resignation. His head strained back to avoid the quicksand, the tendons in his throat standing out like steel cords.
Please! Not this way!
Ryan began working his way a little higher.
Good as any.
Oh, come on, chill me! Pull it in the head, now, before it's too late!
Man gets what he deserves, Strasser. You're the swiftest, most evil bastard I ever knew. Nothing's bad enough for you.
Don't preach! Don't do that to me!
So long.
All right, fuck you!
Strasser heaved himself upright, grinning at Ryan with obscene ferocity. He drew the edge of the knife deep across his own throat, opening the arteries, and in a continuation of the same movement, hurled the bloody dagger at Ryan. It sliced across Ryan's upper arm, cutting a small nick in the skin, then rang off the red metal and hissed harmlessly into the sand. Strasser, bright crimson fountaining from the severed artery, opened his mouth for a last shriek of helpless rage, but blood filled his throat. He slumped into the moist fingers of the quicksand. Ryan perched on the fallen bridge and watched the ending. Watched the bubbles of blood that discolored the yellow sand. Watched the maniacally grinning skull slowly vanish. Last to disappear was the right hand, the four fingers clenched in a spasm of death. After that, there was only stillness. The sun was setting out of a sky that flamed with purple chem clouds. The six friends, reunited, had reached the Matrans part of the complex and found it in good functioning order. Now they stood together outside the gateway, ready to make the next jump. The ruined cryo center had been a disappointment, particularly to Ryan, but he was philosophical about it. There would always be other highways to travel.
Everyone ready?
They all nodded, except for Jack.
No.
Somehow, Ryan had been expecting it. He faced the teenager.
End of the line, Jack?
Yeah. Had good times. Good friends. Never forget it. Never forget any of you. But...
Not Sharon Vare, surely. You aren't going back for that vapid little moppet, are you, Jack?
It's Christina Ballinger, isn't it?
Yeah. Asked me if ever out her way again, and sort of promised.
Man should keep his promises.
Anytime any of you around spread, we'd... you know.
Ryan hated long farewells. He offered his hand to the slim white-haired boy, who gripped it firmly.
Good luck, Jack. I liked her. I liked her a lot. You'll have good times. And yeah, we'll come by that way one of these days.
Christy embraced Jack, kissing him gently on each cheek.
Respect each other, and respect the kids when you get them. Bye, Jack.
Mildred, her face still swollen from Strasser's brutal treatment, also hugged the boy.
Been good to know you. And you be careful.
JB took off his fedora and shook the boy by the hand.
Always keep your back to the sun, and keep your weapons right. Good luck, kid.
It was the only time that Jack Lauren ever let any of them call him kid and get away with it. Doc was last, eyes glistening with unshed tears.
Look after yourself, my dear young friend. A great singer and writer once said something about keeping your dreams as clean as silver. If this is the last hurrah, young fellow, then let it be a prelude to good days. I, too, promise that I will one day visit you and your lovely wife. One day.
Jack stepped back, nodding to each of them.
One day.
He turned on his heel. They watched him go, out through the main control room with its whirring consoles and dancing lights, his white hair flaring like a beacon. Ryan finally broke the long silence.
Let's go.
The chamber was the usual design of silver-tinted armaglass. Everyone arranged themselves as comfortably as possible around the floor, avoiding the inset metal plates. Ryan stood by the entrance looking around, making sure everyone was comfortable. He closed the door firmly and sat down next to Christy, reaching out to hold her hand. The power started building up. The discs in floor and ceiling began to glow, and the first delicate tendrils of mist began to appear. Ryan could feel the numbness settling over his brain. Christy squeezed his fingers.
This the ending, lover?
Not likely. Like they say, it ain't over till it's over.
And then, the darkness came. Deathlands Latitude Zero is a graphic audio production. Copyright 2006, The Cutting Corporation. Performed by Richard Rowan, Terrence Aselford, Colleen Delaney, Dolores King Williams, Karen Carbone, David Coyne, Ken Jackson, and Casey Jones. Additional red shirts by The Dead Giveaways. Directed by Rick Rowan. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Vocal editing and graphic audio sound design by Brian Patton, Johan Detweiler, and Dan Smith. The Deathlands theme was composed by Mark Ashby. Additional original music by Brian Patton, Matt Webb, and Dan Smith. Script adapted for graphic audio by Bill Campbell. If you enjoy Deathlands, be sure to look for James Axler's Outlanders, available at Roadstops Everywhere at 1-800-670-5220 or at www.cuttingaudio.com. Keep listening for exciting previews of other graphic audio titles. Next time.
Look, her hand.
Seemingly with a life of its own, it was spidering up her chest to her throat. It stopped and gripped the square metal pendant.
Take.
This?
Ryan touched it with his fingers. A nod of the head, slow and painful, answered him. He carefully pulled it up, wincing as he realized it was stuck to her with dried blood. He peeled it loose and over the tangled gray hair.
Open.
He turned it in his hand. The workmanship reminded him vaguely of silver he'd seen down in the southwest. Indian crafts. For a moment, he couldn't see how to get inside it.
Open.
I'm trying, but it's stiff. Don't want to break it when... Here.
Rona said to find you. Find you. Quest, look after.
Slowly, Ryan opened the locket and found that it contained two things. A tiny ringlet of blonde hair and a picture. A faded, pale brown portrait.
Who is it?
Your son, Ryan Carter. It is your son.
10 years ago, Ryan encountered a woman named Sharona Carson. Now, in the hell-blasted ruins of New York City, his past has come back. But before Ryan and his companions can come to terms with this, they must first deal with a much more immediate problem.
Scabbies!
Head for the exit!
There's too many of them!
Christy!
Relationships are made, bonds are tested, and death is faced head-on. Come Deathlands number 13, Seedling, everything will change.
Deathlands 13, Seedling, will be in travel centers and truck stops throughout North America starting